Praise the Lord. Message number 253. The title of the message, God's Calling Requirements, Part 2. Let's open our Bible to the Book of Luke. Book of Luke chapter 5. And let's read verse 1 to verse 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have not caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness unto us. Thank you for your word that continues sent us to call us to continue to serve you and to abide with your will and your plan, knowing, O God, that in obedience to what you say and when we obey, your blessing will flow in our life. I pray in the name of Jesus that this message will be a good reason that your blessing will flow in the life of your church and your people, that as they listen, they will respond, their heart will be quickened to your call, and they will respond to you and serve you and receive all the blessing that you had bestowed on and you had ordained for each and every one of us, even to your church. Raise up more workers. Let your message bring help, healing, hope, wholeness, encouragement, deliverance, salvation, training for workers to rise up and serve you. We thank you, God. We bless you, Jesus. Anoint my lips and arrange the message in the way that you want it to flow. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, in this passage that we have read, there's something that attracts the attention of each and everyone who listen, and that's the big catch of fish. The boats were filled and the nets were filled with fish, and the Lord turned the situation from negative, from scarcity to much and abundant blessing. I always ask which time the boat of Simon was filled with fish. Most of the time the people say when Jesus said, but I say it is true when Jesus say it, but it fulfilled when Simon obeyed The Lord say to him, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. The Lord ordained a blessing for Simon Peter, but Simon received after he obeyed. And the blessing that we can speak that Simon got from what Jesus said and after his obedience, material blessing, the big catch of fish. Second, he received repentance. He started to, when he obeyed the word of God that Jesus taught him, he was able to see the sin in his life. He was able to see that he has no faith, lack of faith, that was his sin. When you obey the word of God and the instruction of Jesus to you, you'll be able to see and recognize your sin in the way that God is seeing it. The third blessing that Simon received in that setting, the Lord gave him ministry. And he told him that you'll be a fisher of men, to evangelize, to bring people into God's kingdom. And the fourth blessing that Simon Peter received, in verse 11 we can read that, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. A full-time ministry. Many of people, they want to go full-time ministry. They want to serve the Lord the rest of their life. That also will come after obedience. Now let's go back to the commands of Jesus to Simon Peter. The commands of the Lord Jesus Christ to Simon Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. I will ask, is this a simple command or difficult command? Actually, it is simple, because that is the work of Simon. He knows it very well. He knows the way. And Jesus is not asking him to do something new for him. So it is simple. And this is also, it is difficult. Difficult because whole night he was not sleeping, tired, maybe hungry. Maybe he want to go and sleep. And now he need to spend more time. It may take him few to several hours to obey what Jesus told him. So it could be also difficult. You know, I can say it in this way. It is simple when you want to obey. When you decide to obey, it is simple. And when you don't like to obey, it is difficult. When God called people, He gave us His word. And there is inside of each and everyone, even you who listen to now today to the message, there is the flesh that contradicts the word of God. There was also flesh inside Simon Peter that would contradict the word of God. His own understanding, we have labored the whole night, but we did not get anything. Your own understanding, how if I will obey, God's blessing will flow. You cannot explain it. But when you obey, you will find the truth. You will be able to see your sin. Sometimes laziness contradicts the word of God. You don't want to obey because you are lazy. You are tired. You don't want to spend effort in obeying God's command. So always the flesh. That contradicts God's calling. And that what you need to obey. Simply, you know, when Jesus was sitting on the board and he was teaching, his teaching was directed to the crowd. But when he finished his sermon to the people, he turned to Simon and he said to him, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon would say, why me, Lord? Why only me? Why not this person? Why not the other person? Why I need to do this? Why Jesus did not ask the other person to do it? That is the flesh contradicting, opposing God's calling. But once you obey, you will find yourself in the perfect and in the center of God's good and pleasing and good plan for you. God calling required obedience so that blessings and ministry and God's service will flow through your life to other people who are around you. And always the Lord will ask you something. It might seem easy, but it is also difficult to do. Or we can say it might seem difficult, but still you are able to do. God will not ask you something that he knows that you cannot do. But you must understand one fact. When God is calling people, he will ask something in one way or another. It is difficult to do, but it is possible. We'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 10, and most of you know that the Lord called Saul to be king of Israel, although the people request for a king. But finally, ultimately, the Lord pointed out that Saul to be anointed as a king over Israel. And he called the prophet Samuel to do that. And if you read from 1 Samuel chapter 10, we read from verse 1. And we'll go down to verse 8. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zilzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, the donkeys you set out to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He's asking, what shall I do about my son? Then you will go on from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine's outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. So Samuel, after anointing Saul, he is telling him what he will meet, what will take place soon, to confirm to him, so he will be able to see that God really is calling him. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. He is confirming to him that if this all this happen, it's coming true, then do whatever your hand finds to do, because what has happened, it confirmed that God is with you. The term here is God is, for God is with you. And that's very important things. And that is very important part of God's calling, that you must know that God is with you, for God is with you. And verse 8, go down ahead of me, that someone is speaking to Saul, go down ahead of me to Gilgal, I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. So here God's call him. He was anointed. And in verse 8, Samuel asked Saul to do something, that he told him, you go ahead of me to Gilgal, and I will surely come to offer sacrifice and burnt offering. And he required him one thing, that you must wait 7 days until I come and tell you what you are to do. Go there and at Gilgal, stay there, wait for me seven days until I come, so I will tell you what you need to do. Is this easy? Oh yeah, that's very easy. You go there and you stay and wait for me to come. This is easy. And it is difficult. Sometimes God will ask you something, it's easy, but you might find difficult things come across your ways to fulfill it. And God allow it so that he will know if you are seeing God is with you. True happen, all what Samuel prophesied to Saul. And he met the men, and he met the procession of prophets, and he prophesied with them. It fulfilled. And finally, he need to move to Gilgal, and he found himself engaged in a war with the Philistines. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, and I read from verse 5, Saul now in Gilgal waiting for Samuel, because Samuel told him, wait for me for 1 week until I come, so I will offer sacrifice and burnt offering, and I will tell you what you need to do. So Saul was waiting at Gilgal. 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 5 say, the Philistines assembled to fight Israel with the 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Aven. When the men of Israel saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard pressed, they hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. Now that's the situation now that Saul find himself in. When Samuel told him, wait for me 7 days, and all the mind of Saul that everything will be fine, the enemy are controlled, the army around me, Israel is victorious, everything is perfect. But here he found himself that he needed to wait for Samuel, where all the situation is upside down around him. He waited 7 days, and even Samuel is late. So he said in verse 9, bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. And we know that Saul was rebuked by Samuel. Samuel told him, why you have done this? Why have you done? What have you done? Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembled at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. You know, what he did, Christianity is not wrong. He waited 7 days, and some were also late. Not only so wrong, but also you somewhere where you are late. If you will look at it in this way, Saul, he did not do wrong. But let us see it from other aspect, that we can see exactly what is wrong in the thing that Saul did. Saul, he offered not because Samuel did not come, but he offered it before Samuel arrived, because his faith was defected. How would his faith was defected? How your faith is defected? You know, when you see enemies around you, the Philistines assembled to fight Israel. When the enemy around you are more, the more you are afraid. And the people around you also, as the Israelites, they were around Saul. The Israelites, they were seeing the situation as critical. And in verse 7 we read, some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. They ran away for their safety. That was going around Saul. And that may happen around you when God calls you. The enemy will come, press hard. The crowd around you, they will say, we cannot do it. You see, big army and big things, we have nothing. And some other people, they will look for their comfort area, comfort zone. They will go abroad here and there for better living and better income and more easy life. And you are staying at Gilgal, waiting for somebody whose name Samuel will come to you. And you are in that miserable situation. And more than this, what we can read in verse 8, that the Saul, the men around Saul, and Saul's men began to scatter. Those who are very near to you, they start to scatter. And that's here what makes Saul offer the sacrifice. Not because Samuel was late, but he thought that he is already finished. When the men around him start to scatter, his co-workers and those who are very near to him, he said, there is no hope for me left. When Samuel told him, wait for me until I come, that was very easy instruction, very easy command. But now, to obey it is something impossible. But if we will just look at it from another way, and we can understand what Samuel have told Saul. Samuel told him, wait for me until I come. And Saul, you may have people around you go away, people around you scared, and people around you move and leave you because they are having more opportunity to better comfortable life. And you may find the enemy is hard pressed around you. But you must see and you must understand that God is with you. Saul offered the sacrifices because he was not able to see God right there with him. And that was his sin. And that what made him disobey God's calling and not obey the instruction that Samuel gave him. And for this reason, he was rebuked. I always say, I'm not Saul. People scatter, enemy press hard, workers they leave me, people who are very near move away for a comfortable life, but I am very sure and I can see very well that God is with me and I will not disobey or compromise or break the word of God. I will continue to obey, because in obedience my boats will be filled with fish, and through obedience I receive more gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I can hear his voice and I can see more clearly, and I will continue to serve him wholeheartedly till I meet him in the air and I hear his voice, well done my good and faithful servant. God requires from you obedience. It does not matter who is with you, who is around you, the enemy, the size of the enemy, workers leave you, but you must know Samuel said to Saul, he said to him, "For God is with you." When all these things it happened, do whatever your hands can do, for God is with you. Oh God, I have to pray in the name of Jesus. Kneel down, ask the Lord to open your eyes, to increase your faith, to repent of your sin, lack of faith. If you have failed God, today you repent. Tell him, "Lord, I was not able to see you. I saw negative things. I saw people defected from service. I saw the heaven, but I failed to see you, God." I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done in the life of your church and your people. Raise up more workers to save you. I pray for revival. I pray you give second chance. I pray for restoration of workers in ministry to your church and to your people. Raise up more workers, more of the disciples to continue in walk in faith. And raise up more people to leave everything and follow you, O God. In obedience to your commands and instructions, raise up workers to be blessed and be source of blessing to others, to evangelize and make disciples, to serve you and to proclaim your word to the very end of ages and to the all four corners of the earth till you come and take us. O God, take this message and may this spread and reach those who are in need for it and those who had asked you, O Lord, to help them and those whom you called to save you. Lord, let the fruit that desires will be accomplished and fulfilled in the life of your church and your people. O God, you bless us, enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Christ's name. Amen and amen.